you turn in your Bible to Luke, the 19th chapter. I'm going to begin reading from verse 28. As I'm reading, would you listen for the Word of God? After Jesus said this, he continued on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As Jesus came to Bethpage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives, he gave two disciples a task. He said, "Go into the village over there. When you enter it, you will find tied up there a colt that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If someone asks, 'Why are you untying it?' just say, 'Its master needs it.' Those who had been sent found it exactly as he had said. As they were untying the colt, its owners said to them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they replied, 'Its master needs it.' And they brought it to Jesus, threw their clothes on the colt, and lifted Jesus onto it. As Jesus rode along, they spread their clothes on the road. As Jesus approached the road leading down from the Mount of Olives, the whole throng of his disciples began rejoicing. They praised God with a loud voice because of all the mighty things they had seen. And they said, 'Blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heavens.' Some of the Pharisees from the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, scold your disciples, tell them to stop.' He answered, 'I tell you, if they were silent, the stones would shout.' As Jesus came to the city and observed it, he wept over it. He said, 'If only you knew on this of all days the things that lead to peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. The time will come when your enemies will build the fortifications around you, encircle you, and attack you from all sides. They will crush you completely, you and the people within you. They won't leave one stone on top of another within you, because you didn't recognize the time of your gracious visit from God." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Praise be to God. Would you pray with me? By your word and your spirit, Lord, help us to joyfully choose you and to be saved from all conflicting desires. May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
Spirit.
The Holy Catholic Church.
The communion of saints.
The forgiveness of sins.
The resurrection of the body.
And the life everlasting.
Amen.
What do you believe?
Morning, I'm Chris Neen. I'm the senior pastor of Resurrection United Methodist Church. I'm really glad that we can worship together. If you look in your bulletin, you'll find a Grow, Pray, and Study guide. We were doing a new member class earlier this week, and one of the young men that was there said, you know, I grew up in a tradition of the church where we were really encouraged to read the Bible for ourselves, and then I get here, and you're challenging every participant in the church to read your Bible every day, and you're making this Grow, Pray, and Study guide available. It's got new scriptures, new commentary every week that tied into the sermon. And he said, that's been a real game changer for me, to just read my own Bible. And I'm wondering, if you haven't started that, taken up this challenge, what if you did that today and you just spent the next year reading your own Bible? Where would you be a year from now in your knowledge of the scriptures and of the Christian faith and your awareness of God's presence in your life and God's ability to guide you in your everyday life? If you just took up that simple challenge, I hope that you will do that. We had another thing happen this past week. I think it was on Thursday we got a fax. You know, sometimes you just get a fax sent to you that you didn't solicit, but you just got it. And many of you remember our previous pastor here at Resurrection United Methodist Church, Pastor Mike Graham, and it was entitled to Mike. And I mean, it's what an opportunity. We were all jealous as a staff because apparently Mike has a distant relative in Spain who died, and there's a financial consultant there who is notifying Mike that $21 million have been left in a bank for Mike. Some kind of timetable on this thing, and Mike has to get his personal information to them right away, you know, bank account number, Social Security, that kind of thing. And so we thought as a staff we'd surprise Mike, and so we sent the personal information instead for Mike. And imagine what he's going to think when he gets that $21 million. We didn't really do that. That was an opportunity that we thought we'd pass on. But really, when we think over our life, aren't there things that you wish you would have taken advantage of? Opportunities that crossed your path that for whatever reason you didn't see the value of it, you were too busy, you were fixated on something else, and you missed the opportunity. We're looking at the text that's traditional for Palm Sunday. Jesus is coming over that eastern side of Jerusalem, and there's the Mount of Olives, and it looks down over the ancient city. And when he gets to the top, he's riding this colt, this donkey colt, and that is a blatant fulfillment of an Old Testament prophecy that the Messiah will enter into Jerusalem riding on this donkey colt. It's Zechariah 9:9, if you put that up. This is Old Testament, so this is written hundreds of years before Jesus fulfilled it. Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So Jesus is saying, I am the Messiah. I am the Son of God when he's riding in on that donkey colt. But before he actually enters into the city, he pauses at the top. He looks down on the city and the people carrying out their everyday business, and he begins to weep. And if you're looking at him, you have to be wondering, what is it that's bothering Jesus? There's another Old Testament passage in Isaiah, the 22nd chapter, verse 4. It said, therefore I said, turn away from me, let me weep bitterly. Do not try to console me over the destruction of my people. Jesus actually tells us why he was weeping. It's in verse 42. Jesus said, if only you knew on this day of all the things that lead to peace, of the opportunity that you had for peace. He looks down on the people of Jerusalem that he spent 3 years inviting to believe in him and trust in his heavenly Father, and he realizes for most of these people, he feels like he's failed. And they've missed their opportunity. He made this invitation and they didn't accept it. He's weeping over that that lost chance. And before we are too quick to judge Jesus, as a parent or as a grandparent, when you begin to watch your children make poor decisions, when they begin to do short-sighted, dumb things that are going to affect their relationships within the family, it's going to affect their future, it's going to affect their finances, might even land them in jail. What parent hasn't gone through that time? What grandparent hasn't gone through that heart-wrenching time of shedding tears, of just in anguish over that path? You don't stop loving your kid. You just feel so vulnerable. I think that's what Jesus is feeling as he looks upon the people of Jerusalem. What could have been? The missed opportunity. I think when we look at the teachings of Jesus, you see a lot of times where Christ inserts into the parable a person who's missing the opportunity. It's almost like a constant warning throughout the New Testament, don't be this person. Like the banquet, the great banquet, the parable of the banquet, and the master sending out the servants and inviting all the well-known people, hey, come to this great banquet that the master is putting on, an obvious allusion to the great banquet that's going to take place at the end of time. And everybody's too busy. They don't want to accept the master's invitation. So the master says, go find some people that will say yes. And he sends the servants back out, obviously alluding to the Samaritans and to the Canaanites and to the Greeks and all the people that aren't supposed to be attending the banquet but are people that are willing to say yes to Christ. Don't miss the opportunity. Or the elder brother in the parable of the prodigal son, and how the foolish younger brother has squandered much of the father's wealth, but he's humbled himself, he's come home, he's apologized, and the father's so delighted he's going to have a homecoming party, but the elder brother, you can see up in the upper right-hand corner, he's not going to attend. He's going to miss the opportunity to rejoice with his father and welcome his brother home because his heart's so full of bitterness and resentment. What about the one talent servant? The master gives each of the servants a certain number of talents and says, I'm going to be away for a while, but then I'm going to come back. Obviously, a teaching about the second coming of Christ said, now be faithful with these talents that I've given you. But the one talent servant, for whatever reason, he gets nervous, he's too conservative. He buries his talent. He doesn't do anything with it. He could have done much good, but he doesn't do anything with it. He missed the opportunity. Or what about the priest and the Levite in the story of the Good Samaritan? And this is a long list. If you look at the parables of Christ, there's typically somebody in there that's missing the opportunity. The priest and the Levite walked around the man that was in need. It was only the Samaritan who stopped and took this man who was an inch away from death, who had been beaten, stripped, taken everything away, left by the side of the road. And it was the Good Samaritan, the non-Jew, who took advantage of the opportunity to show compassion to this man. The priest and the Levite, they missed their opportunity. Or what about the foolish maidens? There's 10 maidens. This is, again, a teaching on the second coming of Christ. And they're all standing out there with their oil lamps, but the bridegroom is delayed, and 5 of the 10 didn't take the time to prepare their hearts, not just to talk about oil. And when the bridegroom shows up, they're not ready. They're not prepared. They missed their opportunity. What about Pontius Pilate? Pontius Pilate had the ability to release Jesus. He had the power to release Jesus, but he's so concerned about maintaining his position of power that he throws the Son of God under the bus. And he misses his opportunity to stick up for somebody that I think he actually believed was who he said that he was, the King of the Jews. Or the granddaddy of them all. This isn't a parable. This is an apostle, Judas. Judas ate with Jesus. He listened to the teachings of Jesus. He saw miraculous deeds being done by Jesus. But in the end,
I don't think he ever really knew Jesus. He wanted to use Jesus, but he didn't know Jesus. How many people go to church and they overhear sermons and they go to classes and they overhear things, but they never really understand what this gospel is all about, what we mean by good news, and what it means to have Christ as your personal Savior and the Spirit of Christ living and dwelling in you. You missed his opportunity. And that's just not people back then. I mean, how many of us can look back over our life and think to ourselves, oh, I wish I would have written that letter. I wish I would have made that phone call. I wish I would have written that check. I wish I would have made that apology. I wish I would have reached out to that person. I wish I would have kept my commitment. But we missed our opportunity. And part of the problem with being a human being is we can't go back. All we can do is take that terrible taste in our mouth, and when we think back to those times when we acted the coward, when we didn't stick up for somebody that needed us to stick up for them, when we could have made a different choice, when we could have offered the apology, but we didn't, when we should have told the truth, but we lied. All we can do is look back on that and humbly admit our failings and use that as a motivation to make a different choice today. We can do that. We can make a different choice. Leo Biscaglia, many of you are old enough to remember his TV show on PBS. He was a professor in Southern California. He had this assignment where he would challenge the people in his classroom. If you had, the doctor just told you have 5 days to live, what would you do with those 5 days? And over the years, I get these papers back, and some were bucket list items. You know, I wish I'd gone to see the Grand Canyon, or I wish I'd gone to visit a relative and apologize for something that I did. I wish I would have reached out to this person. I wish I could take back a moment and go back and ask for forgiveness for something that I did. And his tradition was these papers would get turned in, and then he'd write on the bottom of the paper and send it back to them and say, why don't you do it now? Why don't you do that today? Maybe we don't have 5 days to live. Maybe we've only got 1 day to live. For most of us, we don't know that last day. We wake up and it's just like another day. Why not take advantage of the opportunity today rather than weep over a missed opportunity? I want to read some scriptures to you. Just be confident of this, that he, God, who began a good work in you, will carry it out to completion till the day of Christ Jesus. The work of God has already begun in you. It's not like you're starting from square one. Because Christ has come, because he's lived, he's died, he's resurrected, because the gospel has been proclaimed and written down in the New Testament, because the Holy Spirit was released at Pentecost, the good work has already begun. That's part of the reason you're here. The Holy Spirit prompted you. It brought you here to see that scripture, to think in your own life right now, how could I take advantage of an opportunity that I was going to squander? How could I take that additional step and do something that I say something that I wasn't planning on doing or saying? Next text. Proverbs 3:6, in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Honestly, for a disciple, this is the calling, isn't it? It's that daily opportunity that we have to submit our ways, our paths. Maybe yesterday was a miserable failure. I get that. But today's a new day. The mercy and grace of God have made this a new opportunity. Every day is a new opportunity, full of opportunities, and we can make a different choice today. And I thought, rather than just talking about it, why don't we do that? Why don't we submit our ways to God? Why don't we do that together? As we're entering into Holy Week, I thought it would be good if we'd pray this prayer together. Would you join me? Dear God, on this day your Son, Jesus Christ, entered into the holy city of Jerusalem and was proclaimed king by those who spread their clothes and palm branches along his way, we pause to declare him as Savior and Lord of our lives. Give us the courage to use this moment of silence to commit or recommit ourselves to your Son, Jesus. Would you join me for a few moments of silence, and you can pray your own prayer. Pray with me. We are sorry for our sins, and with your help, we want to dedicate the rest of our lives to following Christ in the way that leads to eternal life.